before you, Lord, and we want to just commit this time in Sunday school to you, Lord. May your hand be upon each one of us, Lord, speaking to us, leading us, teaching us, Lord. May our hearts be open to the word, Lord, and may your life and your anointing flow through us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go ahead and continue as part 10 of A Word Family. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3. Read verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. You can go ahead and be seated. So as we begin to, as we've read before, and as you read through the book of Proverbs, you find throughout it that sons are encouraged to listen to the teaching of their mother. And of course, daughters should as well, not just sons. But in Proverbs, it's written to the son, a son. And so they're encouraged, listen to the teaching of your mother, hold it in your hearts. And we find even that wisdom is personified as a female, a godly woman of wisdom. Amen. The Bible says she cries out in the streets. Wisdom, Lady Wisdom, cries out in the streets. And those gathered in the city gates and calls to the simple ones to listen to her advice and correction. Amen. Now, it's not encouraging the godly woman to be a street preacher, but that the wisdom that's taught within the home then is to be applied on the streets, so that when you're on the streets, you've been taught, you've been established in the word, then when you're out on the street, when you're in public life, you know how to behave and act, because you've had a mother that's instructed you and taught you in wisdom. Amen. Proverbs, on the other side, Proverbs also advises young men to stay away from a seductive and promiscuous woman. Don't listen to her words. Don't stop to speak with her, and never enter into her house. This is the continual instruction of the book of Proverbs. So, young men, be advised by the book of Proverbs. Look for character. Isn't that what the prophet taught us? Your first and foremost thing is to look for character, because that is the home that you're going to establish. And you may say, I never want to establish a home. I never want to get married. Sorry, you're going to establish a home anyways, because you're going to live somewhere. You're going to have a lifestyle. You're going to have a certain type of life. And what you let allow to come into your heart and come into your mind, that's the life that you're going to live. And so if you eventually let yourself in with one of these ungodly women that are focused on the outward, that are thinking about the outward, and they're wanting to use the outward to ensnare a man, that's the type of life that you're building. That's the type of home you're establishing. Amen. Though the lips of a wicked woman are sweet as honey, in the end, Proverbs tells us, it's bitter as poison and dangerous as a double-edged sword. Amen. She says, she leads you to the grave. Ultimately, it's to leading to death. Stay away from the ungodly, immodest girl or woman. Don't stop in the streets. Don't say, oh, I'm going to look. Not just in the streets now, on the internet. Don't stop and look. Don't stop and stare. Don't let it come into your heart. Why? Because it's poison. You're drinking poison. You can't drink poison and not have ultimate results. You might not immediately die, but what is it going to do? Just like when you feed your body with processed food continuously, what are you going to have? You're going to be unhealthy. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have disease, just like we have in our society today, going everywhere. So you might drink the poison that doesn't kill you immediately, but it's going to build a life on the foundation of poison. Amen. The Bible says, don't drink poison. It also says, drink water from your own well. Share love only with your wife. That's the only place that it's undefiled and that it's pure. Not with strangers from the streets or strangers from the internet. Ultimately, this will destroy and bring down a man. So you see the picture that the Bible is painting. You can bring a woman into your life, and she can build you up and help establish your life based upon wisdom. All right? Of course, a man is to be a leader. But nevertheless, the atmosphere that you have in your home is also going to be based not just on your leadership, but on the leadership that's received from the husband to the wife, the atmosphere that's created there. So if you want to build your house right, seek a woman of wisdom. Not, that doesn't mean you have to seek a woman who has a college degree. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the revelation of the word applied to your life. So seek a woman whose life is built upon the revelation of the word. And as a woman, seek to be a woman whose life is built upon the revelation of the word. That is what wisdom is. Amen. The Bible says, now that you have found the right thing, it says, let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. It says to always be captivated by her love. Right? That's from a godly woman. A godly husband and a godly wife are to produce godly fruit. All right, now, but the immoral wife, what does the Bible present her as? She's brash, she's rebellious, she's never content to stay at home, she's always in the streets and markets and flirting with men everywhere. Now she's on the internet trying to put herself out for everyone else besides where she's supposed to be. All right, now we can get the PowerPoint going. Let's see here. So as we read Genesis 3:16, I'm going to go ahead and look at it in the NLT. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. So as we've established before, God's original intention in creation was he made man first. And he put him in the position of leadership. He gave Adam the authority to name his wife 2 different times. And he gave Adam the word to pass on to his wife. And when Eve sinned, when they both sinned, he said, he didn't go to Eve and say, what did your husband do? He went to Adam and say, what have you done? Did you do what I told you not to do? So the fall then produces, this is the curse upon the woman. So what is her desire now? Her desire is not to submit to her husband. The sinful desire of women is to overpower her husband and to usurp the authority of men. So we could see then feminism itself is a result of the fall and of sin and of evil. But then on the other side is you have, he will rule over you. And if you look at this verse, it's speaking he will dominate over you. So a man's desire is to rule as a dictator. Sinful desire is to rule as a dictator, to manipulate and control his wife. And his wife on the other side, her desire is to manipulate and control her husband. And this is a perversion of the word. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. So a wise woman, through her behavior, how she treats her husband, how she manages her home, how she builds her life, what does she do? She builds up her own house. She encourages them. She strengthens them. But a foolish woman, what does she do? She's nagging. She's controlling. She's beating everybody down to the point where they just want to run from her. That's why you have all these funny TikToks and reels, and the men are finding ways. They're going to the Home Depot. They can't wait to get to the Home Depot. They're getting in their truck. They spend 16 hours in their truck avoiding their family, avoiding their wife. That's not the atmosphere that a woman should be creating. When her husband gets home, that should be the place that's his oasis, not the place where, oh, Lord, have mercy, here it comes again. That's not the atmosphere that God wants to have. In a home, Proverbs 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. It's quite a statement. But God wants a woman to have discretion. She wants to have her to have discernment, to understand what to let near her, what kind, how to speak, how to act, how to behave, how to order herself according to the word. It's not saying that a fair woman is de facto evil. Right? Brother Branham says you're supposed to use your beauty to further the kingdom of God. Right? Not to further selfish ends and to lead men to destruction. Proverbs 21:9. It's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Verse 19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Three times Proverbs repeats this. So three times is like an emphasis. If it repeats it twice, it's emphasizing it. If it repeats it three times, now it's like saying, hey, pay attention, we're shouting here. Now, it's better to live alone in the wilderness, in the corner of a rooftop, in a tiny little home. It's better to be alone, is what it's saying. So in Genesis, it says it's not good for a man to be alone. But if he gets himself the wrong type of wife that's brawling and contentious and fighting and nagging, better for him to be alone, is essentially what Solomon is telling us. This is kind of marriage 101. Every Christian owes their full allegiance to Christ. We owe full obedience to Christ. Not full obedience to Christ if you're under a good pastor, if you're in a positive church, if everything is going your way, then you owe full obedience to Christ. No, you owe full obedience to Christ even if you have the worst pastor in the world. Even if you have a manipulative and controlling pastor, even if you have a horrible husband, even if you have a horrible wife, even if your entire life is falling apart right in front of your eyes, God doesn't say, okay, now your whole life is falling apart, so go ahead and be disobedient and wicked and angry. That's not what the word says. So if you have a perfect wife, then you can be a good man. If you have a perfect husband, then you can be a good woman. No. If you have a horrible spouse, God wants you to walk and live with the right spirit and in obedience. It won't be easy, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you to walk in obedience. Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hides her hides the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. So what in the world does that mean? Let's look at the NLT to help us. Stopping her complaints is like trying to stop the wind or trying to hold something with greased hands. So that is a contentious woman. You're not gonna close her mouth, and you're not gonna force her to stop. She's gonna continuously be like that. Now again, I talked about that before. A woman many times is a reflection of her husband. So if she is reflecting back to you, if by all accounts and purposes your wife is normally a godly woman, and suddenly she's the most frustrating woman you've ever experienced, you might want to look in the mirror. Now, if you married her and she was always ornery like that, that's your issue. But if she normally is doing all right, a pretty good wife and suddenly there's a change, it's probably something to do with the mirror. It's probably the type of leadership, the type of attitude, the type of approach that's, and she's just reflecting some orneriness right back at you. Amen. Because as we said before, the man is the glory of God and the woman is the image and glory of the man. So the man is the reflected glory of God. The woman is the reflected glory of the man. So she is reflecting back. She's going to reflect the vision that a man has been given by God. So he is under God, under the headship of Christ. He is to channel the vision and heart of Christ to be fully surrendered. Then she can channel and manifest and reflect what she's supposed to reflect from the man. Things, so we can know for sure, things that God doesn't want to see in a woman. Number one, lacking discernment about what is right and wrong. Number two, angry or manipulative behavior that always is ready to argue with her husband, and ultimately she's getting in her own way. Let's look at what Brother Branham speaks. And now you see a little old man coming down the street and the little Jezebel with a cigarette in her mouth puffing along like that. She say, well, she hollers, scat! And he jumps through to the door. That's right. And at nighttime, she's setting out there with them pretty red fingernails till it looks like eagle's claws and been eating raw beefsteak with it standing out there. She won't wash the dishes because she's afraid the paint will come off. While her poor husband is scrubbing the dishes after washing like that and her sitting in there sucking a cigarette and he's taking care of the baby, right? That's rank, isn't it? Sounds ridiculous, but it's the Bible and the truth, just exactly right. How could you ever eat a pan of biscuits with a woman that made them with that big long fingernails? I couldn't, I tell you, it'd turn my stomach. I just couldn't do it. So anyhow, but oh my, it's all right. But you little weakling man, I'm ashamed of you as Christians, brothers, will let your wife do such a thing as that. It shows what you are made out of, that's right. Now you women, you ought to say amen after fussing at you like that, because he's the ruler, that's right. And the way he let you live, it's his fault. God's going to hold him responsible for it, that's right. If you ain't man enough to take up and put your own house in order, God be merciful to you. That's right, because the Bible said in the very beginning, that he shall rule over thee. Now she's not a doormat now, she's your sweetheart, see, but you should sit down and talk to her and reason it with her and tell her and read the Bible and pray together. These things wouldn't be in the church then if you'd done that. That's right. Amen. As I said before, brothers that say, well, I'm not a teacher, I can't teach my family. Right here, you have to be able to instruct your family. It is your duty and your responsibility as a man to instruct your wife, because she's supposed to instruct the children. You have to instruct your wife and your children and lead them and teach them and show them in the Bible. Brother Branham's not saying, now you shame on you men, you need to enforce this in your homes. Now he's saying, beat your family, beat your kids, manipulate them, control them. He's saying, no, don't do that. You sit down with the word and you teach and you teach and you teach and you do it with patience. The teacher in the Bible, it makes clear to do it with patience. But you don't leave it alone. If you have to teach on modesty for 365 days in a year to your family, then patiently open the Bible, open the message, and do it. We have no excuse. And women that aren't dressing modestly, shame on you. But double shame on your husband, because you're supposed to instruct. When Brother Branham preaches it so hard and he's shouting and yelling, we think suddenly this is how we have to handle it at the home. I promise you that's not how Brother Branham was dealing with it at his home. And the scripture makes it clear, if you're a teacher, you must do so with patience. And men, sorry, You didn't know you were signing up to be a teacher when you got married, but you were. That is your duty, to be a teacher of your family and to be an instructor. It's fantastic that we have good preaching at the pulpit, but if husbands aren't leading their home, the preaching at the pulpit is not going to do any true benefit in the long term. Because it is supposed to be established and put forth in the home by men. So God's purpose is for a woman, she must be wise, discreet. Discreet means to have discernment and judge critically of what is correct and proper. As we've said multiple times before, and as the scripture tells us, a woman is more easily deceived than a man. However, we can come and tell you that the gospel brings something different to the hearts of the people. What is that? The elect won't be deceived. So especially in this hour that we're living in, the Holy Ghost comes upon us, that is creating and bringing wisdom and discernment within the hearts of men and women. All right. God's desire for a woman is also to be respectful, to be obedient, to be quiet, and to be meek. And these are all not qualities that we are born with. The natural man, these things are foolishness to him. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, these qualities, through prayer and through the feeding on the word, these qualities and attributes are developed and built within every woman of God. Let's see, where am I at? In the choosing of a bride, Brother Branham says, for me, I'd take not the pretty thing up on top the hill. I'd take this character down here. As you remember the story he's referring to the rich couple arguing and fighting, and the poor couple where she loved him with all her heart and he did everything he could to provide and take care of her with all his heart, and they loved each other. He says, I'll take that thing down there as a real homemaker, somebody that loved me and stayed with me, somebody tried to make a home and not bleeding you for everything, for fineries, and somebody that was with you and part of you. Amen. I love that. And it shall be even as it was told me. He says, well, everyone thinks about their mother, you know. I think mother, the good, true mother, is the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, mother. Mother gets them first, and that's the one who brings them up first, is mother. Amen. They're little treasures that God has given you the responsibility of raising. And I've always said and made this kind of a saying to mothers, we know written of four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there's a fifth gospel unwritten, that's mother. She gets them before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's teaching gets them. So the responsibility is placed upon you mothers and you fathers to raise these children for the kingdom of God, and I'm sure that's your heart's desire. Again, a woman is designed to be under authority. She's to have a meek spirit. A meek and quiet spirit is what the scripture says. Meek doesn't mean weakness. Meekness doesn't mean a lack of faith or a lack of strength. What it actually means is willing to be led, the capability and the willingness to be led, just as Moses. Moses was strong. He was a strong man of God, right? I mean, he had the capability of murdering a man, right, that was coming against someone. He had the capability of defending the daughters of Jethro. He wasn't weak, but what was it? He was the meekest of all men, which means he was able to be under leadership. So a woman is designed for meekness, which means she's to be under the authority of her father and then her husband. I mean, if you really, I'm just going to have to quit right there because I'm transitioning into another aspect of this subject of womanhood, and it won't do any good to just get one quote into it. So let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, Lord. We thank you so much for what you're doing within us, Lord, to conform us unto the image of Christ, Lord, each one. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to move and work in our service today, Lord. May each one, musician, those playing leading songs and preaching, Lord, each one, may we all, everyone, get out of the way so that you'd be glorified and your people would be built up, Lord. We commit ourselves to you for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.